Today's episode of Point Breakaway is brought to you by Remarkably Remote, a new daily microcast from the experts at GoToMeeting, all about making work from home work for you. With indispensable intel on how to stay sane, motivated, and productive at home, we're here to help you in this brave new remote working world. Find us at smart speakers or subscribe to your favorite podcasting app. You can also listen at gotomeeting.com/tips. That's gotomeeting.com/tips. Hello everyone and welcome to Point Breakaway, the podcast about the Ducks, Kings, anything else that comes to mind. I am Josh Cooper in Los Angeles, California. My co-host Shane O'Brien is currently in Orange County. We're staying home, doing our part. Obi, how you doing?
What's up, Coop? Yeah, man. Here we go, another week of quarantine. I'm running out of stuff to watch. I was watching the par 3 challenge today from the Masters in like 2017 or something. So, needless to say, times are tough, but stay in, stay safe, do the right thing. And hopefully in a month or so or whatever, we'll be through this and back to somewhat normal life and maybe some sports on TV or something.
Well, we'll probably bring this up at some point, but I did watch Tiger King last weekend. So the great thing about this is that we have a wonderful guest on to which I can ask a question about Tiger King. One of your good friends, Ryan Getzlaff, is joining the podcast. So, Ryan, welcome to Point Breakaway, and how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. It's nice to get out and have a nice conversation with somebody that isn't my kids yelling at me.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on again. Thank you so much. And one of the big things that really gave people a lot of joy in the last week, because we're looking for things that are giving people joy, was the video call with media reporter, or I guess with reporters, in which they learned all about your chicken coop. And we actually asked Dallas Eakins about this on the podcast last week. So I have to ask, is the chicken coop a precursor to you becoming the Tiger King of Orange County?
I don't know. That would be quite the feat. I think I haven't really watched the Tiger King to tell you the truth, but I've been hearing all about it. But I'll start with wrestling my chickens.
How many chickens you got in that coop, Getsy? I'm curious. Well, how did it start? Obviously, was it your kid's idea, and you just kind of took it from there, or how did it get going?
Well, that's Paige. Paige there, my wife. She's always kind of wanted chickens and stuff, and I've always kind of fought it. And then. Day three or four, we ran out of eggs, and we had to borrow eggs from a neighbor who had a chicken coop. So then it became and all of a sudden it was a good idea, seeming that I have nothing else to do. It gave me a project to do outside, so I was all about it after that.
Yeah, so on an hourly or how much work does the coop take you? Like, do you wake up in the morning, grab your morning coffee, head out to the chicken coop? Is that kind of how your day starts? Or, like, how much commitment is this coop taking up of your time?
Oh, it's been quite the commitment. I'll send you a nice photo. You can see she's not an ordinary coop. My chickens are going to be living large.
Just like everyone else in the Getzlaff family, eh? They're going to be living large. No.
don't want them to feel left out, you know?
I'll tell you what, Getzy, if my next life I come back as a chicken, I hope it's in your coop somewhere, buddy, because I'm sure they're eating well. They're a coda causa, fella.
Well, bud, you could have fooled anybody. You played a chicken on the ice for, what, 10 years?
My whole career, buddy. My whole career.
Wait, I thought he was a tough guy. Explain this.
Well, that's what he tells you, huh?
Yeah, it's all about, Coop, I told you, it's all about kidding. I kid them for 10 years, you know? If you give them a mean mug and chirp every now and then, They think, man, this guy's kind of tough, I guess.
Look up any fights of me and him.
Wait, does this exist on hockeyfights.com?
No, that doesn't exist, period, because he was chicken the whole time.
Getsy, speaking of putting up fights, you'll remember this, you played this game. Spittin' Chicklets put up of the fight of me and Boogie. Remember in Minnesota when he kneed
Cooney? I do remember that.
Oh, buddy. So they put this on social media, and obviously Spittin' Chicklets is the biggest hockey podcast going, and people, Getsy, because if you remember correctly, it was a bad showing by me. Like, I tried to throw like a couple muffins, and then I tried to do the old banana peel gets and pull them down, and the boogeyman is just like holding me up. I'm like, oh, yeah, come on.
I texted you up, but you know what? I would But to your credit, Sex, that I wouldn't say that that was a bad showing. That guy was an absolute beast, and the fact that you showed up for it was more than enough for me.
Yeah, I just sketchy. I just had it in my head of like, I mean, I only played about 7 or 8 minutes a night anyways, and I just put Boogeyman Need Kunitz right in front of me, and all I thought about was, I can fight this guy and probably get pumped, or I can listen to or I can listen to Berkey rip me or send me to the minors the next day. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going him right now. And then I was like,
yeah, here we go.
I'm searching for this frantically right now on hockeyfights.com. I need to see this.
Don't.
Was this what,
please
like 07 or whatever?
Yeah. This would have been.
When did you win the cup, Getsy? 06, 07?
Yeah, 06, 07.
Wait, so what was it like fighting Derek Boogaard?
Horrendous. It was the most scary thing ever in the world. And then, like, Getsy remember this. And we talked about this when we first had Gets on the pod about our team that year, how tough we were. And in between the first and second period, you know, all the boys were great. Like, that boy, Obes, good job. And Fedoruk's, Fridge is like, Todd Fedoruk's like, great job, Obes. I got this guy next period. And sure enough, Getsy, you remember this. Fridge goes out there toe-to-toe with him and ends up getting hit by Boogie and broke his orbital bone. And, like, the sound it made. Remember the sound it made in the XL Center that night, Getsy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was just like, he was a scary guy.
Scariest moment, yeah. It was not a good.
So besides the old chicken coop, I know you got a nice setup down there. You've yet to invite me to your house, which is not surprising to me. I mean, I've only known you since you're 18. So,
yeah.
I mean, you did invite me to golf.
It'd be more the fact that I would invite you and you'd show up.
Oh, here we go. I came and played golf with you one time at Kodo, and it was in the summertime, and my husky frame couldn't take the – I almost went down, I think, on the hole 12. So I was like
– it's hard to battle through that heat.
Yeah. So with the kids, I know you got a batting cage. What else you got at that house for the kids? How are the kids keeping busy? And I know you got four of them. So how are you and Paige handle that? Or are you out playing the cage, batting cage with them? Or what's your day-to-day thing with your kids?
Yeah, I mean, during the week, Paige kind of handles all the schooling and all that stuff. And then so she has them for a few hours in the morning. That's usually when I go out and work on the chicken coop. she's taking care of all the schooling and stuff. She's worked hard at that. So, and then I got PE in the afternoon. So that's when we go out and do either whatever we're either going out to the batting cage or I actually built a little hockey rink out here with the synthetic ice on it.
Wow. Let me know if you want me to come over there and work some down low stuff with you. Lean on you a little bit in case the season starts.
I might need
back
it
up
for the comeback here. Yeah.
Yeah. One last thing about the chicken coop, Ryan. Are you surprised at how viral? Like, as viral is probably not the right term we need to use right now. But are you surprised at how just wild that went overall? Just like that was the entire talk of that. Like, you guys talked about a lot of different really interesting subjects. And the only thing people were talking about afterwards was the chicken coop and your 9-year-old on a golf cart.
Nice. Yeah, I probably got hassled a little bit for my 9-year-old driving a golf cart. But
no, that was hilarious, Getsy. You're like, oh, there goes my 9-year-old on a golf cart. That's not perfect.
Yeah, that's not perfect.
That's not perfect.
That's not ideal. But he's learned to drive really well, though.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, you know, to tell you the honest truth, I don't have a clue how far it went. Six will attest to this, that I don't have anything to do with social media or anything. So I really don't even have a clue how much. I've been asked about it a lot, though. I'll tell you that. But it's one of those things. It's obviously it's a lighter topic right now. And we're not exactly going to, you know, talk about hockey too much. So I think building a chicken coop was a little bit far-fetched. And for some reason, it felt like a good idea to me.
It's a great idea. And even just saying the word chicken coop, that's funny. I mean, every time you say it, I literally laugh. So it's like it's making people laugh. So that's great.
Yeah. That's good.
So Getsy, you're a big golfer. I know you live on a golf course. How hard is it for you to be looking out on that golf course right now and be like, listen, I know it's tough times, but do you think we should be able to be out there social distancing playing golf or what's your feeling on that? Because I know you're a huge golfer. We had some games set up to play together and stuff like that. How's your feeling on the whole not being able to golf right now while you're not being able to play hockey?
It's devastating.
Yeah. That's a great word to use.
Yeah, it is. There's no other way to explain it. Golf is actually my escape all the time. That's like one of the only places where I get to go and just turn my brain off and play golf and shoot the shit with the boys. And, you know, it's not being out there sucks. But, I at the start, I was kind of on board with the whole, like, social distancing thing and going out. We played one round early where we all drove our own carts. And I honestly, I felt like it was pretty safe. I didn't come into contact, close contact with anybody. I just think that it's such a slippery slope. Now that this thing has gotten where it is, and I don't think you can administer it enough or really tell people to stay at home, except you can drive to the golf course kind of thing. So I think we're doing the right thing right now. It's all we can do to kind of move this thing forward and get it done and over with and get back out there for real.
Yeah, so Getz, that kind of leads me to, I was just wondering this, and you've played a long time and played a lot of playoff games, and I had your head coach on last week, and I thought you guys have played well this year. I thought you guys have battled hard and lots of character, and I feel like that has a lot to do with you. But when the season did come to a halt, I know you guys aren't in a playoff position. What was your first kind of reaction as a player? Because as an ex-player, I'm like, wow, like for you guys, you're playing well. You got 10 games left or 11 games left, and all of a sudden the season stops. Like, what was kind of what were the boys saying after you got the word, and just kind of what was the feel around the guys? I'm just curious as an ex-player.
Yeah, I think at the start it was kind of just like a weird, we get an extended weekend here, yeah, or whatever it was. We weren't really expecting it to be as long as it was. I thought it was usually one of those things where you're like, they're overreacting and this will kind of die down right away. So I think at that point, everyone was kind of just, okay, well, we got a long weekend and we'll make up the game or whatever. But as it's gone on, I think, it's no secret that we're not in a playoff position. So it's not like I'm sitting here going, we're going to miss out on the playoffs and, a chance to win the cup this year and all that kind of stuff, which I think would make it a lot harder. For some of these teams that traded away a bunch of draft picks and were loading up to go to the finals this year and whatever, I'm sure it's difficult. And, for us, we were playing for our future. We were playing for our fans. And that's the part that really hurts, I think, is the fans. Sports usually gives people a getaway and the opportunity to go and kind of forget about things like this. And without that, our fans unfortunately don't have that escape at the moment. And that's what the biggest downfall, I think, for us is not being able to play for them right now.
Yeah, I've been throwing this around, Getzy, as a fan more than a player, but I've been thinking about doing what you would think of a March Madness-style playoff where everyone gets back in, or even more like maybe like a world championship style where you have like group play and you kind of get everyone back in there and whenever this starts, do you think that would ever work in the NHL? I know your team's not in the playoffs. I'm just saying from a whole thing where everyone's back in, it's either a March Madness style or a group play into like, do you think that would ever work in the NHL?
I don't think it's that it wouldn't work. I just think that it would take away from the integrity of the game. Championship. Yeah. The Stanley Cup over the years has made him for being, arguably the hardest trophy to win in sports. And to have to go through the grind and everything. And I think having won before, I would feel cheated a little bit. If somebody went through and, won 8 games and won
the
cup.
Totally.
Or something like that. Not that it's any easier to win 8 straight games, but I think to just not go through the full grind of it, and that the history of the Stanley Cup goes back so far, that would be my biggest worry. Is it, not that I think it's a bad idea. I think that it's a hard thing to go down that road when you're talking about the integrity of what the Stanley Cup means.
Ryan, Josh here. First off, you talked about just the seriousness of this all, and I do want to thank you for giving a shout out to all the medical professionals at UCI on the conference call last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember when it was. But like that meant a lot to me. My wife's a nurse practitioner, and she works at a hospital in LA, Cedars-Sinai, and I know that they're all kind of seeing the brunt of it. So I want to thank you for that. You mentioned the playoffs and the grind. So we've had two pieces on The Athletic recently that really kind of dove into that with teams that you were on. One was the comeback on Catella, where I remember somebody referred to you, somebody I was sitting next to in the press box referred to you as, oh my God, he's gone full Hulk slaff, as far as how you were just like demolishing everyone in the last 3 minutes. And the other was,
He's a goon. He's a goon. Other, he's a goon.
Yeah.
No, like he was like, you were just like, you could not be denied during that comeback. I mean, so like that was one. And the other was, we had a very PG, story from Timu Solani on his autobiography about what it was like to win the Stanley Cup. And he didn't really peel back the curtain too much on that one. So first, the comeback on Ketela, what was that like? And second, like, just how wild was Timu when he won the Stanley Cup? Because all we got in the story was just, he sprayed some champagne and stayed up till 6 a.m. and that was it.
Well, first, the Ketela thing, that was, it was a crazy time. That was, that playoff run was actually a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was, you know, it was an opportunity for our team where we were kind of in the midst of trying to go on a run and in between whether we had a team that was deep enough to go all the way and what we were doing. And I think that Edmonton series was a lot of fun, and including that game was a crazy time. I just remember we just kind of got the ball rolling, and there was just little mistakes and guys were making plays and just battling and grinding. And one of the few times where I could see, or in memory of a distinct moment where everyone was just kind of like takes kind of thing, right? And we had guys crashing the net, laying in the crease and doing whatever, you know. It was a time, and very, very emotional. And obviously it was, you know, to be able to finish it in overtime was huge. Your second question about Timo, that I honestly, like, the memory of that that night and that day is kind of almost a blur. It's you know, when that horn sounds, the only things you really think about and remember are the actual moments. Like, I remember hugging Timo, and I remember when we hugged Jiggy. Me and Paris hugged Jiggy at the same time, right off the buzzer, and you know, and then the rest of the night carries on, and he's not kidding. Like, I mean, you basically, that's all we did for, you know, the next 5 hours was pop champagne bottles and spray it everywhere, pour them in the cup, drink out of the cup, and smoke cigars. And that's basically what we did for that whole, that entire evening.
Sounds pretty good, well, guys. Not gonna lie. Sounds
pretty good. It was a nice time.
Yeah, that sounds like a real nice time. Yeah. Sounds like a real nice time.
And you got to meet Arnold too. At the celebration.
Yeah, that was the parade day,
Yep. Very brief. I mean, did you get to meet him? Did you shake his hand? I mean,
I shook his hand, but it's just like we shook his hand on stage. So it wasn't like we sat in a room and chatted with him. Those guys are kind of in and out when they do those things.
In regards to the comeback on Ketela, you scored the first goal to kind of get things going. I remember it was just this beautiful slap shot. I don't know if it's off a broken play, but you just kind of wired it. You know, what did you guys know when you scored that goal? I just remember being in the press box being like, okay, they're going to come back and at least tie this. Like, I could just feel it. Could you feel it? Like,
well, that's easy to say afterwards, Coop.
Well, true, but it just the momentum just was like, you guys were so,
looking back, yeah, it was easy now.
Well, that's true. Yes, I predict. No, I'm just kidding. But no, like, seriously, like, you guys, like, when you scored that goal, like, you had a very minimalist celebration. It was like, what's that sort of like? Like, do you celebrate after a goal like that? What are you saying to the boys? What are they saying to you? Like, what's the mood on the bench? I mean, it just, because it seemed, maybe it was the next goal where things really felt like the momentum was starting to roll. But after that first one, what was it like?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the first one's kind of like, oh, okay, well, we got one where we're kind of, you know, trying to get the ball rolling. And then I think we scored fairly quick after that. And if you, I mean, I guess they were all pretty quick together, but if you, you know, I think that getting one is one thing. And then once you get the next one, I think is when you really get the belief that, you know, especially being at home, you get the crowd all going, everybody's, the whole building's buzzing. And that's where you can build that momentum where you start going in one direction and it feels like you tilted the whole rink. And I think that was kind of our turning point, you know, when we buried that second goal.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that feeling happen to me, Getsy, on the other side of it, being on the other side, not in the Stanley Cup or like that, but when you're like, when you're up like 3-0, like, we got this, boys, then they get one, then they get two, you're like, uh-oh, now we're in some serious trouble here. But,
yeah,
Gets, I want to bring it back to now, and listen, you know how much I love sports, and I'm hurt without sports, so I saw something on social media today, and I just want to get your opinion. You know, they're talking about baseball. They're going to play in Arizona. They're going to use all the spring training facilities and the Arizona Diamondbacks. All the players and their family are going to stay quarantined and this and that. Do you think that could work? As an NHL player, do you think that could work if you guys do start again where you use, I don't know, two or three cities and you're with your family and the teammates and you all stay in the same place and go to the game and come back with no fans? Do you think that's realistic that could happen and work for the NHL as well and Major League Baseball?
No.
Yeah.
That was a pretty, easy answer for me, yeah. Just because of the fact that I just don't believe that playing without fans, yeah, in our sport can really work at any level. It's our sport and the way we play and the way the game goes. And for instance, what I just described, when you're in the moment and you're trying to stage a comeback or something and you're in your own building and the thing is buzzing and you just would have no atmosphere and no feel to do that. You would just be out there kind of, it'd be like playing shinny in the summer.
See, Coop, Getsy never played in the American League, Coop, so he's never played in front of only 150 people in Cleveland on a Sunday, so he's not used to the no fan thing. But
hey, that's not guys, true, Sex. I played a couple of minor league games with you. So
That's true, Portland, but yeah, no, it's definitely something, Getsy, that would be super weird because the fans are the best part of the game. But I just think, you know, everyone out there right now, if sports came back, even if it was in front of, and I'm just speaking as a fan now, not a player, obviously, but I just think even on TV, it would be just to give people something to, you know, get behind and enjoy a little bit. But for a player, it would definitely be, you know, a different situation for sure.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. I mean, believe me, there's nobody that wants to be out there more than we do, but I just think for the quality of the product and everything else, I think you need to have that full building and that atmosphere.
Interesting. I mean, just in the sense of I'm not an athlete, I've never played in front of a packed house, but that really means something to you, just the fans being there just in general.
Yeah, it's definitely your day and get up for a game and be excited to be out there and do what we do. Because, I mean, ultimately, if you dumb it down, we're basically entertainers. That's what we are. And trying to ask a musician how great it is to play in front of an empty stadium as opposed to being in a building where the crowd's into it and they're having a good time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That makes a lot of sense. Last week, speaking of entertaining, our podcast last week with Dallas Eakins was a lot of fun. And one of the things he said that I really enjoyed and could play on loop over and over again was, he goes, "I'm a big fan of the burpees." But and Obi then kind of joked around about that. But you know, with Dallas, I listen to that guy talk, I just want to like sprint through a wall. Like, both you guys played for him. What's it like being in a locker room when that guy delivers just a speech? And I'm just a reporter, but when he talks, I'm just like, wow. I mean, I just want to do stuff for that guy because he makes it sound like it's my responsibility as a human.
yeah, that's definitely his approach for sure. He uses his life experience. Dallas has been through a lot of different things in his life, and he's definitely turned that into a mantra, so to speak, for him on how he addresses the team, how he addresses situations, and he tries to rub that off on people. And he does make you want to follow him and make you want to play for him and play hard for him.
I would say, though, Getsy, if you've played over 1,000 games in the NHL, that the burpees should be an optional thing for a player, if you ask me. I mean, I don't think you should have to be in the burpee challenge, do you? I mean, burpees are the hardest thing. They're the hardest thing in the world. I don't care if you're in the best physical condition of your life. Burpees are still hard to do.
And you know what? And burpees suck even more when you're tall and lanky.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, when Dally said that, I was like, oh, that's Dally. Of course Dally likes doing burpees. He's so hardcore like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's banging push-ups and burpees. And yeah, no, yeah, that's I don't know if I don't know if 1-5 is really going to be a part of that mix, you know.
Like, hey, you've earned it, buddy. You know, you've earned it, fella.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He does seem so stoic to us. There's got to be some like funny thing he did this year that where you were just like, we're laughing your ass off. Like we never see it in the media, and he always has that stare. But like, there's got to be something, right?
Oh no, he plays around and jokes around and stuff as much as any head coach. He's not like a strictly business guy all the time with us, but he definitely has that way about him where he's definitely much more of a motivator, and you know, when he talks, it's for a purpose, kind of guy. So he does come across that way for sure.
Yeah, I think you nailed on the head, Getz. I only played for him for 1 year in San Diego, but the stuff he's been through, he said it last week on our podcast, like, you know, he's a journeyman. He played a lot in the American League, and just the way he talks to his players, and you know, a lot of coaches I've had, either not even they're yelling at you, they kind of talk at you, where he's kind of talking to you and talks to you man to man. And that was the thing that, and when I watch you guys play, even from the start of the year, Getz, I've told you this, like, just how hard you guys have played, and that has a lot to do with him and yourself and the guys that have been there, Silverberg and Raquel and your boys. And yeah, he's just, Dally's just, he gets his message across the right way.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. So, you know, we got steps to take as an organization over 6 months, but you know, get going again whenever.
Yeah, well, hey, Getzy, we really appreciate you coming on, buddy. Good luck with the chicken coop. Keep it going. Stay with it.
Yeah.
And listen, whenever this does get sorted out, I would love to play a round of golf with you and catch up, buddy. So we really appreciate you coming on, Getzy. Stay safe out there. Stay out of Paige and your family for me, and thanks, bud.
I will. You too. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks for coming on. Obes, Ryan Getzlaf, a leader amongst men. Anytime he says chicken coop, though, it's like the previous week when Dallas Eakins said, I'm a big fan of the burpees. Like, this was just, I just want to hear Ryan Getzlaf say chicken coop over and over again.
Yeah, it was great the way he said it. And it's cool. It's a cool thing that he's, you know, he's doing that. And, you know, obviously he's a professional athlete, been playing hockey a long time, and it's a tough time for anyone. But when you're used to, you know, their season would be over now, but for the last month and a half where you would still be playing hockey and to be at home with his kids and hanging out. And I don't know, I think a chicken coop thing's a pretty good idea. So good on him. And thanks for Getzy coming on. He's a good guy. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I just loved the word he used, devastating, when I said about golf, because I know how big of a golfer he is and how much he loves it. And I'm in the same boat. It's tough not playing golf, but we're all doing the right thing here. So thanks, Getzy, for coming on. And that was a good time.
Yeah, and also just saying how he clears his head, that's interesting. I think that was good insight into him, because some people just look at athletes and are like, oh, he's just out playing golf because he's an athlete and that's what he can do. But that's a real coping mechanism for him. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So obviously rate us 5 stars, because that was a 5-star interview and we're a 5-star podcast. But also another thing that you should do is, on top of rating us 5 stars and subscribing to us, you have to listen to Scott Bernstein, Pierre LeBrun on the Two Man Advantage this week, because they have the great one, Wayne Gretzky. So always an amazing interview, wonderful person, just the greatest hockey player of all time. Anytime he opens his mouth and speaks and says something, it's newsworthy and it's interesting and it's insightful. So highly recommend that. Again, please rate, subscribe, 5 stars, Point Breakaway and Apple. theathletic.com/pointbreakaway. You'll get 40% off the subscription of The Athletic. We're also offering 90-day free trials. So lots of good stuff. Our favorite player series, Drew Doughty, Timu Solani are a couple that are listed on there. For me, the NHL dads I've gotten to know. I gave Obi a shout out because he's the man, and I always feel better after a podcast with him. So thank you, Obes. You rule. And thanks to Ryan Getzlaf for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Coop. Stay safe up there in LA, buddy, and I'll talk to you next week.